The one thing I would say to early career educators is start saying yes sooner. Stretch yourself, get outside your comfort zone, believe that it's okay that you don't have to quote unquote wait your turn. Jump in now, fail soon, fail often, and stretch yourself. Be happy about that, learn where your boundaries are, and go outside of them.
Hello and welcome to School Me, the National Education Association's podcast dedicated to helping educators thrive in the early stages of their career. I'm your host, Natika Samuels. We hear a lot from ESP here in the School Me mailbox. Many of the ESP have been in their schools for a few years and are just looking for some guidance and ways to grow within their specialty. We recently received this message from an ESP named Lisa. She says, "Hello, my name is Lisa and I've been at my school for 6 years. I'm a secretary there and looking to explore ways to develop professionally. What are some ways you'd advise me to get involved further and advance my career?" To help us guide the conversation here and to provide career advice for those ESP who are working behind the scenes, we invited Nikki Belknap, an accountant for a community college in Oregon. Nikki is a graduate of NEA's ESP Leaders for Tomorrow program, and she's going to help us answer professional development questions such as Lisa's and talk to us about ESP leadership and professional growth as a member of clerical staff. Thanks for joining me, Nikki.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Nikki, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got into your profession, where you're working now, and how you've gotten involved with NEA?
My profession right now is an accountant, but I actually began my career in 1995 as a public safety officer for David X High School. I worked there for 5 years as an officer. And then I came out to Mount Hood Community College and worked for the first 14 years as a public safety officer there. And during that time, I earned my bachelor's degree in business administration, management, and accounting, doing a bit of work in the business office where I was at the college. They saw my work and they hired me as an accountant. And so I changed careers at the age of 40, and I've been working as an accountant for the last 3 years. Since then, I've been active in the union pretty much the whole time. But it wasn't until I went to the state representative assembly a few years ago that it really sparked my interest of being involved at a greater level. And because of that, I heard about the Leaders for Tomorrow program, and a couple of folks said, "No, you should try that, do that." And like, okay, let's see what this is about. I applied, I got in, I completed the program with 16 amazing people, and they've become my family and my real backbone to helping me just jump from there off into this world of, I ran for state ESP director last year and I won. And so I've been involved at all different levels now. And it's just been absolutely an amazing journey. And it has really strengthened my communication competencies and some other leadership skills that I've been very grateful for.
What made you want to work in schools? So you've worked in a couple different schools in a few different capacities. What brought you to working within the education realm?
I believe that each individual is absolutely precious, and that education is where you start to craft the next generation of individuals. And so by being involved in education as a public safety officer, I got to take care of people and to really help them. As I became an accountant, same thing. It's the motherly instinct in me wanting to help people learn how to handle life's difficulties in the most positive way possible.
We got a question from a woman named Lisa, who is a secretary in a school and has been for a while. And she had a general question about how she can develop professionally and what advice one might give someone who's looking to do that. And we've heard a lot about that with teachers, classroom teachers, and we've heard now a bit about that from paraprofessionals, but not as much from like the clerical job categories and how they see success and growth. So as Lisa said, she's been working in her secretarial job for a while, helping the school operate and run, which is not an easy task. But how could she find some ways to get involved in either the ESP community or just in her school community and grow as a professional?
That's easy. You have to really look, honestly, for professional development opportunities. Like the professional growth continuum, it's a NEA-created device for people to figure out where they are right now in their professional growth and to see where they want to maybe shoot for. And so by looking at the professional growth continuum and assessing honestly where you are, then you can see where you want to go. So that's a really great first step. But then after that, looking to the NEA ESP conference to match up the skills that are needed with some of the education opportunities that we have in professional growth here during the conferences, but even outside of our own NEA opportunities, looking towards their supervisory and other clerical to find out if there is a trajectory that they want to be on, and seeking professional growth opportunities that get you to where you want to be, kind of engineering your own future per se. In my example is I went and I sought the education I needed to move from career to a different career, and I was able to get my degree to do that, but not everybody needs that. And I used that to then push myself to becoming at the state level and involved in training and facilitation opportunities here at the NEA level. And that really kind of broadened my abilities to make me see that I have even further places to go. And I just want everyone to know that if you're looking for professional growth, they're out there. They're out there for your specific career and beyond.
So that sounds like a pretty self-guided process. Do you think it's best for people to just chart their own path and go their own way and try to figure things out on their own? Or should people be coming together as groups and working together on professional growth or seeking out support outside of just themselves?
I think it's both. It's all of that. Because at the very, very burgeoning, you're the only one who knows the trajectory that you want to be on. So you have to self-guide and really self-reflect to find out where you want to be. Once that happens, then you can do your self-assessment so you know where you're at, honestly. And then after that, that's when you start bringing the other people in, seeking the other opportunities for mentorship, whether it's inside the union or outside the union with your profession, and then going from there and seeing what really would benefit you the most in professional development, professional growth, or even leadership opportunities.
So you joined the ESP Leaders for Tomorrow program in order to take a next step. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with that?
It was absolutely phenomenal. It was the thing that really sparked the first moment within me that said, I don't have to just be an accountant. I don't have to just be at my local. I really do have the ability to practice my skills and take it further. And that's what started my desire to want to be at the state level and run for ESP director. And then beyond that, to be able to facilitate a professional growth continuum class with some other folks that graduated from the LFT program, with the support from the other people that were in the program with me. They became my family. And with that, every time I have an opportunity to seek advice from those people, I have 16 other people to bounce ideas from, to get support from, to really garner that inner strength to say, no, I may have been a little trepidatious about stepping and saying yes to, oh my gosh, I really want to go take another, you know, outside of my comfort zone moment. And I know that I have those folks to rely on. And so by doing that and having the tools that they gave me through the program and having those practiced opportunities, when you go through that program, then you also get your name is out there so that you become somebody that they can come to and say, we've given you some tools. We know what you can do. We believe in you. So we're going to offer you this opportunity. But the truth is, it's within you. You have to accept it. You have to be able to say yes, come in here and talk with you folks on this lovely podcast. So, yeah, it's this opportunity and support.
How has the Leaders for Tomorrow program made you specifically better at your job and changed the way that you look at your work?
It really helped me see operations and opportunities from the 30,000 foot level, not just what was in front of me as job assignments. I started seeking things outside of my immediate job assignments to see where could I improve my college for our students from the higher education accounting side, like looking at other colleges and saying, okay, they have these amazing opportunities for students to learn financial stability. What can I do? I can do this. I can bring this back to my college and ask them to utilize that and to maybe create a brand new program. And without being able to believe in yourself and know that you can say yes to those things, you can seek those things. If they don't exist, you can create those opportunities. And so by seeing things at the 30,000 foot level and the grander scheme of things, you know that it takes everybody reaching outside their comfort zone to do that.
It seems like you found the LFT program later on in your career. Would you recommend that people who are just starting out in their career early, maybe within the first 5 years, do you suggest that they also go for this program, or do you think that they should wait a little bit longer and until they have gotten their feet sort of settled, or should they just get on this path immediately?
I think you should jump in with both feet. I think anybody out there, I think the only thing that stops anybody is that inner fear that I'm not ready for that, I'm too new. That's not true. I think all of the learning opportunities that we have right now for everyone from point zero to the day they after retire, because we have a retirement program too, it's for everyone. And the one thing I would say to early career educators is start saying yes sooner. Stretch yourself, get outside your comfort zone, believe that it's okay that you don't have to quote unquote wait your turn. It's not okay that you wait, because nobody else is going to step up. And if everyone steps up, if everyone takes those opportunities, then you can seek another opportunity for someone else and be that mentor for them. And the sooner you start doing that, the better that we grow all together. Then you'll have somebody else to rely on, and it grows exponentially. So yes, jump in now. Fail soon, fail often, and stretch yourself. Be happy about that. Learn where your boundaries are and go outside of them.
So start early.
Absolutely.
What are some of the challenges facing those who are going into the clerical service field in a school and ESP in general? And how do you suggest that people begin to overcome those obstacles?
I think communication is always the number one thing that we feel as ESP that we need to overcome, that we're not heard, that our opinions aren't valued. But to get over that, you just need to continue to go to the table. Don't get dejected and believe that you're not being heard and just stop going. Because it is those hard conversations. It is the moment where you have to say, no, you must listen to me. I have a point of view, I have a right to be at this table, and I need to give you my input so that all opportunities are out there for everyone, not just me, but for the career educators, for the people that have been retired, for every single person. Those voices need to be in the room. And in our own careers, as you know, in clerical services, it happens there too. In my career, there's a lot of folks that just go, nope, I'm just going to show up, I'm going to do the assignments that come in, and I'm just going to go home. Well, that's great, but you're not going to grow. You absolutely won't grow until you stretch yourself outside your comfort zone and you put yourself in volunteer opportunities for the things that aren't necessarily your job thing, but volunteer to look for things that stretch that. You know, get on committees, get your voice out there, because you as an accountant, like in my example, as an accountant, there may not be the accountant's perspective when they are, you know, redesigning the new student hub. That was something that happened recently. And they hadn't considered several things that from our point of view were really necessary to make sure the student was getting the well-rounded help that they needed. And so by volunteering to go outside of that, it really helps shape how our college deals with incoming students.
Well, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a second. Thanks for listening to School Me, and a quick thank you to all of the NEA members listening. If you have a question for one of our experts or just need some support as you're getting your career started, please leave us a message on our line at 240-780-8329. That's 240-780-8329. And your voicemail might be played on air. You can also email your question to us at schoolmeplease@nea.org. That's schoolmeplease, all one word, at nea.org. We're back here with Nikki Belknap, who is helping us navigate professional development for ESP. So over the course of your career, have you seen an improvement or a change for the better with regards to how ESP are respected, recognized, or their voices are actually being heard?
Absolutely. From the latest legislative action to get the ESP of the year going, that's huge. We just asked the governor of the state of Oregon to recognize ESP Day, which is in the middle of Education Week. So that was amazing. I believe that folks are still being heard at the table if they show up. That's the biggest hurdle, is that ESPs sometimes just don't even come to the table. So instead of not being at the table, show up. Make sure your voice is being heard. Push that.
So what are the support systems that are in place for ESP, in your opinion?
The support systems are every other ESP that exists. Seek the people that you consider respected, trusted, and ask them what opportunities are out there. They will know someone, or they'll have at least an avenue to give other people to see what they want to do. Your UNISERV consultants are great. That's somebody who encouraged me to apply for the LFT program, along with some of my other colleagues. You have to kind of know who you trust and seek that from them. And we have a tremendous number of people that are out there that are in positions of strength that are ESP, and they're welcoming and are willing to be mentors for people too. So just look for them.
So it sounds like the community is a huge part of getting anywhere, and I think that's consistent with a lot of different types of careers. How has your union involvement helped you build that community or build that place of support for yourself?
Oh, it's huge. Just like knowing through the LFT program that I have 16 people with 16 very different views across the nation has opened me up to trying new things and getting a full perspective on what I want to do. But that's true for anybody if you start to get involved. But when you isolate yourself and you choose not to be involved, you don't have the support. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's always there. You just have to want to do it. You have to want to seek the other people to bring them into your life and to ask them the questions, and don't be afraid to try new things.
So we mentioned earlier what an early career educator might want to do as soon as they start instead of waiting to get on the best path for their career. What would you suggest one of the first actions a new ESP when they step into that school, what should they do to make sure that they're going to succeed?
You should definitely read your contracts. I think reading and understanding them, and when you have questions, seek out your area rep. And if you still have questions beyond that, then seek out, you know, your local leadership in that way. If it's really professional development in your own career, ask your managers to see what opportunities are lie then. And but you can look on the websites. Your states usually have some kind of opportunities there, and the national level absolutely does. There's an array of professional opportunities out there that the NEA has made available through the Professional Growth Continuum and other different certificate programs to give you professional opportunities for your careers. So you just have to seek it. It does exist. You just have to go look for it, and you have to go get it.
So the ESP Professional Growth Continuum is pretty new, but how would you suggest a newer educator or newer ESP uses that for getting deeper into their career and getting better?
Once you get into using the Professional Growth Continuum, you'll see where you are and you'll see where you want to be. You'll see what those different milestones that you're seeking and how to get there. And the how to get there is matching what you want to be at and the professional growth opportunities that we offer in our ESP conferences. So if you attend them, you'll see that a lot of different classes fall into some of the categories that fall in the leadership continuum and the professional growth continuum. So you can get better at where you are to where you want to be.
So what is the biggest challenge you're still facing in your career as an ESP?
I think the biggest challenge that I have is overcoming my inner trepidation to accept new opportunities that come around and believing in myself that I can do whatever it is, X, Y, and Z. So once you go from, you know, level 1, 2, and you're into level 3, it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it feels way outside your comfort zone to do certain things. And just having that conversation with somebody who's already done it and really talking through your concerns and your fears and practicing what you want to do and getting closer to those key milestones helps you get there.
So that hesitation or getting used to a new reality for yourself, do you think that that is common among newer ESPs? And what would you tell them? What advice would you give them if they're having doubts or hesitations about taking the next step in their career?
I'd say everyone feels that. Absolutely. When I was on stage in Denver talking about our program and what it's done for me, for the Leaders for Tomorrow, I was honest when I said it was terrifying to be up on the stage. A lot of people would much rather die than be a public speaker. That's fact. So getting over that and getting comfortable with it is about practice. The fear doesn't really disappear. You just get more comfortable in yourself in doing it. And you just let that go and you be a lot more at peace with that feeling. And that's true for not just public speaking, but that's doing anything. from engaging in, you know, growth in your own career or even in the union. Some of the things when we go to do organizing, you have to get over the fear of knocking on somebody's door you don't know. So it's really sometimes your own self that keeps you from going and growing and seeking those opportunities that can make you a stronger person and a stronger union leader.
There might be some people who are looking to get better at what they do, but don't necessarily want to become a public figure or do the public speaking, as you mentioned. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, that you just want to get better at your job, but you don't necessarily need to take on the pressure of leadership. If someone's just looking to get better at what they do, what would you suggest they take on?
I would say looking for new opportunities for professional growth. You know, seeking something, if you're an accountant, going out and looking for other ways that can grow you as an accountant, maybe learning a little more about tax law, looking into other things that make your career a little more widely and deeply varied. But I think that everybody, even if you don't have a title, is a leader in some form. Because the more you know about your job, you become a leader for the folks that come in that don't have the amount of experience that you have. And so even if you don't want to be a power figure in the union or at your work and be an upward mobile person and your trajectory is management at some point, even if you just stay in your exact same position until you retire, your age, your growth, and the length of time that you have experience makes you a leader when the new folks come in because you know your stuff. And so you're going to be a leader whether you want to be or not most of the time. People are going to seek you out for the knowledge that you have.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a lot of believing in yourself that needs to be done.
Absolutely.
So you touched on organizing a little bit. How have you been involved with organizing in your state and in your local and beyond?
I've just begun that piece of my leadership journey with the Red for Ed movement that has been incredibly phenomenal. I was able to be a part of the March on our Capitol. And I volunteered to don a bullhorn and to chant with the masses and to be able to go in after we were done surrounding the Capitol with over 5,000 individuals. We went and spoke with our own legislators to demand some more funding for our community college and our schools and our students can really learn and have the opportunity to do that. And yeah, it was life-changing to be a part of that kind of a crowd of people all seeking the same thing. So yeah, phenomenal.
I think for a lot of people, teachers are the face of schools, right? But there's so many more people who are a part of creating a school and making a school function. So what do you think is the unique role that ESP have in perhaps the Red for Ed movement or in the school community for making things better?
I think that we are a lot closer individually to some of the students because they see them at their where they are. You know, they don't always have their best faces on. And so they seek out ESP to have the just general how you doing kind of conversations and have moments. And in that, they are able to find out what really is happening and what those students need and to go back and be at the table and say, no, you know, I have a really close relationship with these students in the way that I have them, whether I'm a para or a bus driver and seeing what's happening when they get on my bus in the morning or in the hallway as I'm cleaning up as a custodian. You know, every once in a while, kids come up to you. Students come to you because you're a trusted adult in their environment. And you're able to find out what it is that those needs are out there. You're really on the boots on the ground in a lot of the ways similar that as their teachers, but in a very different way because some of their defenses are down. They're coming to you very real. And it's in those moments that they can open up and you find out what really is going on.
So you've worked in K-12 environment and higher ed environment. What is the biggest difference between working in those two types of schools?
The kids are always amazing, but the challenge ends up being parental intervention. I think that's one of the biggest things that we see. We even see it, believe it or not, at the college level where we thought, you know, okay, you know, they're adults now. We shouldn't be having parental interventions at some levels. But yeah, that's the one thing I have seen that becomes a struggle as an educator. But other than that, being just a personal kind of tends to be the biggest conflicts is with parents is the lack of funding. That's the biggest difference is that the funding tends to be really focused on K-12. And so they generally get what they need. But up at the college level where I'm at, it is not as strong. You don't have as much community support in the community college level for funding when it comes to fighting for education funding for our students. It's the truth. I mean, we haven't passed a bond at Mountain Community College in over 40 years. But a lot of the K through 12 districts have no problem. So there is a big issue there.
Do you think that the needs for professional growth are different between K through 12 and higher ed, either for ESPs or anybody working in the school community? But are there different professional growth needs in both of those environments?
I don't believe so. I know that the different classes, depending on what your job is, yes, there's always differences in what your personal job and what the professional growth have really can make that poignant. But everybody needs professional growth from pre-K all the way through community college. There is always a need to become a stronger leader slash just employee. There's always opportunity to be better. There's not somebody out there that says, oh, I've learned everything I could possibly do and I don't need to learn anything more. We know that that's not so, and because professional growth takes a lifetime of learning.
So what advice would you give your younger self when you were just starting out?
If I could go back, I would say I would get more involved with the union sooner. I would put myself at the table sooner so that people could hear the voice of the ESP and really, you know, start my growth in leadership at a younger age and really, really push that for myself, get myself outside of my comfort zone.
Did you have any mentors along the way who helped you get to either the point where you are now or just to take that step to go from not being as involved in the union, not being as involved in the professional community, and moving on from there?
Our state leadership have been very helpful in making the folks that are new at the state level feel very welcome and to give them opportunities too. But out of everything, the true mentorship really came from the LFT program. Those 16 other people that went through that with me became my family. And that strength, you can't multiply that. It's just incredible that coming here to the ESP conference this year, I got to see them all come in. They came and saw you folks right before I came to see you, and they're my family. And you just can't replicate that. And so I would encourage anybody, anywhere, if they have the opportunity to go through the Leaders for Tomorrow program, it is transformational in every way, not just yourself, but it creates a very different feel for you for the rest of your career.
What are you seeing with the newer ESP that you encounter? I'm assuming that you have contact with a lot of newer employees in the schools in your district. And what are you seeing? Is it looking good?
That's amazing. You know, we always have new people that come in and they are bright and they believe they don't always have the burdens of past, you know, union struggles and, you know, some of the baggage. They don't have that yet. And I hope they don't get it. But it's that struggle sometimes that helps you be able to lead other people. So I just look at them and say, just start sooner. Don't wait your turn. There is no such thing. Just do it. Just come out and say yes, because we need them. Their perspective is as valuable as someone that's been in the union for 100 years, because we all need to be heard.
What are your hopes for the next generation of ESP?
I hope that they come to the table more often, to stop being afraid to have their voice heard and demand it. To really look people in the eye and say, you chose to be the profession that you are. And so did I. And we all need to be together to make education happen for our students. I'm not more valuable than anyone else, but there is no one else that's less valuable than me either. We all have a job to do. We all have a pivotal point for our students in their learning process. And so by owning that kind of inner strength, I think that would transform the future of education in America.
What do you love most about your work?
I love being able to help students in times that they are at their biggest struggles. When they come to me and they don't see how they could possibly continue their college career because they owe thousands of dollars because something happened with their financial aid, and they believe that they won't be able to become a student anymore, and that they're going to have to spend months and months and months and never get it paid off, and they'll just have to drop out of school. And I look at them with love and concern and tell them, take a deep breath, have a moment, because this isn't the end. Even if you have to take just a term off It doesn't have to be the end of your school career. It's just a small bump. And by helping them reframe it and to understand that this isn't, you know, it feels in the moment like it's like it could be the end of their school career with this kind of debt looming over their head. Once they reframe it and see it from a different perspective, from a care and concern perspective that we do as an accountant for college students, then they take that deep breath. They sigh and go, wow, you know, you're really right. I was feeling overwhelmed at the moment, and let me just regroup and I'll see you next term. And I've seen that happen over and over just because of the way that we approach them. And that's where my love for our students really shines, because you look at them as a caring adult, motherly perspective from my point of view, and say it doesn't have to be the end. It's just kind of a slight pause.
I think that's a really inspirational message, Nikki. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that you invited me today.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of School Me. And if you find this podcast helpful, be sure to rate and review the show. It helps more people find us and the advice they need to survive their first few years in education. For even more tips and resources, you can visit us at neatoday.org/school-me.